Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you Me'eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Hei. And we are holding in the middle of a sugya over here. We had this machlokas yesterday, in which we saw that we have two different approaches to the inyan of divorce on the basis of rumors or things that look pretty bad with the Avon man. And we said that according to Rav, we are only going to be taking these things seriously if we have witnesses. We do not go ahead and cause a divorce because of these things. And then but what about the other cases that we found? And Rav said, yes, that's Rebbe's Shita. Rebbe's Shita is that even on a davar mechu'ar, as he always says, hoel u'mechu'ar ha'davar, look, it looks very disgusting. Therefore, teitze, but I don't hold of that. So that means that we don't have any question against Rav, because he can always explain the other shita to be Rebbe. That's what we had learned yesterday. Now, we're up to Hilchata. The Gemara decides that the halacha is like Rav, and we don't pay any attention to rumors. But, of course, the halacha is also like Rebbe, that we do pay attention to rumors. What kind of halacha is that? Kasha Hilchata, Hilchata, make up your mind. No. What we're saying, obviously, is that we're offering two different approaches to two different situations, is what we're saying. We're saying that where we have a kala de pasik, a kala de pasik means that we had a rumor, and then we have basically an anti-rumor. In other words, what happens is that not that people stop talking about it, but that people specifically say, the opposite. Well, they say that they looked into it and it's not true and so on and so forth. So that is called a kala de pasik. If it was a kala de lo pasik and there wasn't an anti-rumor that came up, so then it's different. Here's how it's different. In other words, in the case, basically, Rebbe and Rav themselves are not mechalik between those two cases, but the halacha is. So in the case of a kala de lo pasik, then the halacha is like Rebbe, that even if you don't have witnesses, the fact that there was no indication that there was an opposite approach to the situation that had arisen. So then we are machmer like Rebbe, and we say that the husband should divorce her. Masha Einkein, in the case of a kol d'pasik, and there was dafka, rumor. I mean, it's the same as a rumor. Rumors oftentimes has a bad connotation, but there was basically an anti-rumor, meaning that people were discussing that in reality they looked into this and it wasn't true. So in that case, the halacha is only that you need a divorce in the case of Ika Eden. And that's like Rav. And that explains what looked like a kasha yochata yochata. Now, what is the meaning, by the way, of those words? A kala de lo pasik. In other words, how much time do we talk about something that didn't stop? But what makes it a real rumor? I mean, you know, it could be people were talking about it in the pub at the night, or people were talking about it in the diner in the morning. But like, how long is it meant to be spoken about by people for it to be considered a serious issue that the halacha needs to deal with? Omar Abaye, my mommy always told me, remember his mommy wasn't his mommy, that's why I keep stressing it's his mommy, but this was his nanny. So she always told me, do me demata yuma upalga. Do me as, there's two possible meanings. Do me can mean suspicions, so that it's the idea of, they're like the dark ones, or it could mean do me, that dome, people that are assuming things, those kind of assumptions, has to be for a day and a half. But this is only if it ran the entire time. Even if it stopped for a while because people were intelligent enough to consider an anti-rumor, so then if it was pasak in the middle of that day and a half, so then how pasak? So then it's not considered to be a rumor. And bichlal, there's other issues, obviously, that need to be taken into consideration. For instance, suppose you're talking about a rumor about Elon Musk and the guy got the lawyer to issue a warning that he's going to go after you. You know, okay. So then nobody's going to be talking about it because they're scared that they're going to be sued. That doesn't count as being pasak. Pasak machmat yira. So then we assume it stopped because of the yira. But, and furthermore, we don't pay any attention to rumors unless there's no one that has an interest in creating these rumors. But let's say someone has political enemies. So then rumors. I mean, the easiest thing is to kill someone's career by creating rumors. So then we assume that it's political enemies that created it. Doesn't matter what the rumor is. So lo amar ela deleka oivim, but if there's ika oivim, then oivimu dafka lelakala. Why in the world should we attribute the rumor to its being true as opposed to a known source of rumors? What do you mean known source? But we don't have we can't trace it. You don't need to trace it. It's a given that if someone has political enemies, that they will use every kind of way of causing problems for him. So of course they're going to be the ones that are most of the cult. Now the question is, we have a very similar situation in the Mishnah in Gittin. And in Gittin it says that Amotziyat Ishto Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir, Mishum Neder Lo Yachzir. So we've been talking about situations in which we needed to determine whether the marriage is appropriate. Remember, this is the way that the whole development of the Perek was going. We went from Not Shayach Kedushin, which was the Shifcha and the Overes Kochavim, to Chayve Lavim, and discussing whether that would be similar in terms of the need for divorce or in terms of the question of Yibum. And then we went to Chayve Lavin only Drabona, where we talked about the Chalutza as opposed to the Grusha. And then we talked about the idea of the Chiyuve Chorus. And then we talked about other levels of inappropriateness. And all this had come after we went through Arayas Mamish in the first parak, Arayas and the Iser Mitzvah and Iser Kedushas. We had Iser Drabonans, we had Iser Dirayas, we had a Mitzvah Asay, we had a Mitzvah Los Asay, do we have an Asay, and an Andalos Asep, questions in which the man himself would have needed to be Megarish Ishto, was not allowed to take her. He was a Magzik Grushasa. But then we went on to talk about inappropriate marriages, and they could be inappropriate for other reasons. We were talking about psul, pogrom as opposed to really posel, and then we were talking about inappropriate because of the way that they are looked at in society. Those were these kind of issues where the Rabbanan said, look, you should not be marrying this woman. So, you know, if people have been saying that you've been carrying on with her while she was married, and then you go ahead and marry her afterwards, so then that was the question, the situation that would be mechayev you to divorce her, even ex post facto. And that's where we got into the discussion of Rav and Rebbe. What level of divorce is mechayev the supposed adulterer to need to be megarish afterwards as well? Now, that was what we just ended with, was the discussion of the halacha, lagabi Rav and Rebbe, rumors, inappropriate Avon man, whatever, all of these cases. Now we want to know, we've got other interesting questions in which things that a person would do would trigger rumors, or things that were mechayev divorce, and the divorce was mechayev his accepting the fact that he would not remarry her. When is that? So there are two situations like that, and that is what the Gemara in Gittin, the Mishnah in Gittin, was talking about. And it says over there, there are certain circumstances where we make a divorce only if the person who gives the divorce and grants the divorce accepts that he will never be able to remarry this woman. So for instance, let's say Amotziyat Ishto Mishum Shemra. So he is responding to the rumors that we just discussed. And this is the way that we slide into this issue. So then the halacha is he can never take her back, even if he discovers that those rumors are false. And if he was Megarish her because she has a neder, he can never take her back again. So the reason for all of this is, let's say she made a neder to Aser herself behind the offer from her husband. So then he divorces her. They're not allowed to have relations and so on. But if we would allow him 10 years later to take her back because there was a discovery that, well, I had a private detective on it for 10 years. It turned out that it was all lies. She never even met this guy and so on. And I never would have divorced her if I would have known that. So therefore, my original divorce was a mekach toz. Sir, she's been married for 10 years. I know, poor woman. She went ahead and married this girl, but she was never, this guy, but she was never divorced. What about all of her kids? They're all mamzerim. Okay. We can't have that kind of situation where a guy could turn around and claim that an original divorce was a mekach toz. So if we know that there's a specific reason that he's divorcing her, then he has to say, I will never remarry her. But, well, big deal, he said it. That's not the point. It's that we say to him, listen here, we're giving you an understanding of the situation. If you like this woman, then you better hire the detective now before you divorce her. If you're telling us you're going to divorce her, even though you're not sure, so then don't come back and say, oh, I never would have divorced her. We gave you that option. Don't divorce her. Look into the situation. Same thing is true about the netter. Suppose they find now a rav who figures out a way to get her out of that netter. You know, so he figures a petach out of that netter. 10 years later, I never would have divorced my beloved wife had I known there was a way out of this situation. And so we tell him, listen, if she's your beloved wife, then don't divorce her until you figure out whether there's someone in the world that's going to be ma'at to the netter. Because if you do, then it means that you can't come back later and say, oh, I never would have divorced her. We gave you that option. So it isn't just that he's committing himself. It's that he understands that he no longer has a taina of mekach toz. That's the point. But the way that we create that situation is we say, okay, sign on to the fact that you're not going to remarry her. So lo yachzir. But now the question is, what if he did? Because in all of the cases that we've been discussing, we needed to determine whether the iser in the marriage was sufficient. And this started with the question of achotz kukato in the case where we were able to remove the zika subsequently because we weren't sure about which one had been married, right? That was how it all started. And therefore, if he gets married, then he's allowed to stay married, as opposed to the Mishnah in which there were four brothers marrying two women. We're over there. He's not allowed to stay married because having once been defined as a chotz kukato, over there it wasn't a suffix. Great. But that opened up the door to all of these issues. Where do we say, even if he got married, he's got to get divorced? So because of that, Rabba Bar Rav Huna sent a shaila to Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, and he wrote, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, what is the din in this case where the guy committed himself not to remarrying, but that was only done in order to avoid his ability to create mamzerim by claiming it was a mekach toz. So suppose in the end he did remarry her. I mean, he didn't really do anything wrong in remarrying her. He said, listen, she went and married somebody else, you know, and now she's free. Or she didn't marry somebody else, whatever the case was. But he went ahead and married her. Does he have to divorce her? Or, like, there's really nothing wrong with the marriage. So Rabbi Reb Nachman said, well, look, didn't we just have the Mishnah that says, Hanitan al Eshet Ish, that if somebody is the object of these rumors, that he's been fooling around with a married woman, and because of that, we demanded that the husband divorce her, then Afa Pishika Nas Yotzi. Says the Pharisee in the Mishnah, even if he went ahead and he married her, he's going to have to get rid of her. Fine. So then it's the same thing. If those rumors about the relationship result in the Rabbanan saying, look, if you're going to divorce her because of rumors, you can't remarry her. So then fine. That's the idea is exactly the same, I think, right? I mean, it's because the fact that you divorced her basically showed everyone that these rumors were really meaningful. Okay, so I think it's the same thing. If they says here you have to divorce her, then there you have to divorce her. So Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman said, what? I mean, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says to Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman, what? It's completely different cases. I don't understand. Over there, that's the case in our Mishnah. It says that the Bezdin forced him to divorce her. That means that there were Eidim. What are you talking about? Obviously, over there, it's an issue of the Oraisa. So, of course, he's not allowed to stay with her because every time he'll sleep with her, he's going to be over on an issue of the Oraisa. Are you nuts? Of course, we'll force him to get divorced. Masha ain't getting over here. The mission that we're talking about, meaning not the mission in Gittin that we just quoted, it's talking about over there that he divorced her because he was unhappy with the rumors, not because there was any substantiation to the rumors and not because the Bezdin made him, it was his own act. So we told him, you know, you shouldn't do it because we don't want you to be able to come back and claim that now you found out otherwise. Okay, but He did find out otherwise, and there was no harm in his remarrying her. So what's the problem? My dear wife, I'm so sorry I ever doubted you, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, there's really only that Tanai Drabonin. I mean, there's no Isser involved. So how can you compare the two cases? Because Rabba Bar Rav Nachman's Girsa in our Mishnah was also not Hotzi Uha, but rather Hotzi Ah, meaning that the guy himself made the determination. And nonetheless, it says that once the husband goes out and divorces her, that constitutes an affirmation of the rumor. And because of that, he would have to be motzi. Okay, so then the same thing is true over here. Oh, wait a minute, says Rabba Baruna. But, I mean, it's two completely different cases. I mean, we're talking about over here the case in Gittin, where it was her own husband who married her, right? So basically, I mean, if it's her own husband, so that it's his right to determine that he is no longer concerned about these rumors, and he's discovered, or he feels that he now trusts his wife and all of this stuff. It just didn't look good, but whatever, it doesn't have any meaning. But in that case, meaning in our Mishnah, I used to talk about that case because they were based on the Mishnah in Gittin, but there, meaning here, in Yevamos, it's the Boel is marrying her. I mean, that's awful. How can the Boel go in and marry her? I mean, that's what's inappropriate, because, I mean, that makes it clear that, yes, the rumors were true. The moment she becomes available, he goes out and he marries her, right? Says Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, I don't care about that. Because the bottom line is that we've got a din here. That's all that I see. Tosu says all kinds of explanations as to why he insists this, and there's a lot of other Rishonim that have an idea. But the pashas of the Gemara is that he's simply saying, look, you ask whether in a case that the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to be married, that if you went ahead and you got married, do you have to get divorced or not? That's your question. Don't start looking at the particulars of the case. You're asking whether a Rabbanan Chiev is Mechayev you to divorce. And I understand the only case where we have that you don't have to divorce is where it is now clear that the reason that you weren't allowed to do it in the first place is because then there was an Isser and now there's not an Isser, like the case of Achotz Kukato. But in a case where we're saying the marriage is inappropriate, not because the time is inappropriate, but the marriage is inappropriate, we see that if it's inappropriate, even though it's only been a Rabbanan, we said we have to be motzi. Same thing over here. And therefore, the Rabbanan said, don't take a wife back if you were motzi or because of Nadarim. If you did, you're going to have to divorce her. So there the Rabbanan said, lo yichnos v'imkanas yotzi, and al-chanami. The Rabbanan said, lo yachzir v'imkanas yotzi. That was Rabba Bar Rav Nachman's opinion. But the Gemara says it simply is not true. These cases are not comparable on the simple basis of a response to a Rabbanan Isser. That is not the point. And we never said, well, when we tell you you can't get married, if you do, you have to get divorced. There's no such halacha. And basically, it's on a case-by-case basis that we're continuing the same issue. Is it currently a violation of norms and therefore still inappropriate? That's the question. So if it's still inappropriate, so then you'll have to get divorced. Now consider the two cases. The husband goes and remarries her. By the very stint of his going and remarrying her, he is telling people, look, I'm a good guy. When I thought that there was some problem with my wife, I immediately divorced her. If I'm taking her back, it's obvious, is it not, that I know better now. And I found out that there was no problem. So then it's no longer inappropriate in the way it was before. Because the fact of his taking her back does not only not strengthen the rumor, it actually weakens the rumor. But in this case, where people were saying, you've been fooling around with a married woman, and now you go ahead and you marry her, you're strengthening the rumor. In which case, the current situation, everybody's looking at, oh, look, there go Mr. and Mrs. Yeah, sure, Mr. and Mrs. You know when that started, don't you? Okay, so then if that's the case, it's always going to be inappropriate, and it's even more inappropriate than it was before, and therefore, each case is on its own. So, hatama lume ame lekala. If the guy who's the supposed adulterer, he goes ahead, so then he is saying that the rumors are true. Mashenken in Gittin, where the husband marries her, he's dafka saying the rumors aren't true, because people are now going to say, kambe bekala valetze. He investigated, it turned out that it wasn't true. And now, for that very special word, Hamevi gate bibidinat hayam. We've got other cases where we are afraid that the marriage will not look good. Meaning, nothing inappropriate occurred. And there was no reason to say, well, because you got into this inappropriate situation, therefore, you can't marry this woman. People have been saying that you've been making out with her. Can't marry her. If you do marry her, you're going to have to get divorced, and so on. But what about where there was absolutely nothing that was inappropriate, but nonetheless, the marriage appears inappropriate because of the fact that it might start rumors? What's the din there? So let's imagine a case like this. A guy comes, Mimidinat Hayam, and you'll remember from the Masechet Gittin that someone who delivers a get from places that are not Baki in the din of Ksivas Get Lishma, he has to say, Befanai Nichtav, Ubefanai Nichtav. This get was written and signed in my presence. And if not, it's not a kosher get. The guy walks in, and he's come from Timbuktu, and he brings this get, and maybe get Mimidinat Hayam, and he says the appropriate formula, Befanai Nichtav, Befanai Nichtav. He should not marry that woman. Because since he is the only basis of our releasing her from her previous marriage, if he goes ahead and marries her, then that stimulates people to say, now, wait a minute. I mean, are we trusting this guy as an individual to say that this well-known married woman is not married when we have no other indication other than his words that she's not married, and now he's going to go marry her? Don't you think, my dear friends, that there's some hanky-panky going on under the surface? So because of that, the fact that it would be inappropriate, even though it's not currently inappropriate, that's a problem. And therefore, he shouldn't marry her. Another case, a guy comes and he says to a woman whose husband has traveled overseas, there's no communication, I mean, he's somewhere in Ukraine or whatever, and he says, I saw your husband die. Or he says, I shot your husband. Or he says, we killed your husband. So, the idea over there is, don't marry his wife. No kidding. Okay, because we're going to rely on this guy's testimony to say that she's allowed to get married. But what's interesting is that even though he says, I killed him, we won't allow him to marry her, but we will allow other people to marry her. So, in other words, we trust this guy's testimony that he killed the husband. Which is a little strange, because why would we trust a murderer? I mean, he says he's a murderer. So why would we trust a murderer's testimony? We don't even accept somebody was over on a simple lav d'oraisa. We don't trust his testimony. So what's going on over here? So he's a Russian, no? That we'll see. But in any event, it certainly looks a little bit suspicious that this guy claims to have killed her husband, and then he goes and marries her. Rabbi Yehuda says, indeed, if he says, I killed him, so then she can't get married to anybody. Forget about to him. Lotina say ishto. If he said, we killed him, the Gemara is going to say when it says we killed him, what he basically was saying is that, you know, I was in the car and one of the guys got out and shot him. It means like I was an accessory, but not that he actually killed him himself. So if he says, we killed him, then she's allowed to marry other people, but not the person who's word we're going to be soimechon. Now, you'll notice that the Mishnah made it very clear that this is because we need to rely on his testimony before nine nichtam, because it specifies he brought the get mimidinat hayam. Suppose he, however, alei samchinan, but suppose he would have brought a get in Eretz Yisrael, and over there you do not need to say before nine nichtam, then he would be allowed to marry this guy's wife. Even if he did say, before nine nichtam, but he didn't need to. But the problem is that the very next case where the guy says, your husband died. Now, why would we rely on one witness to say that I saw your husband die? Forget about it, for himself, for anybody. Isn't this a dvar erva, and there's no halach of edus in a dvar erva, pochot mishnayim? And Eidus is only Eidus of two witnesses. So how in the world would a woman be allowed to rely on one witness who claims that he knows her husband died? So, lo yakum, ed echad. The only reason was because, remember, as we learned in Ketuvot, that in order to avoid problems of igun, where a woman can't get married because her husband disappeared, we have no idea what happened to him, that if one person comes along and tells us that he does know what happened to him, we can rely on that person. How can the Rabbanan cancel a marriage, which is a diaraisa, because they're trying to assure against the igun? Because what they did was, they said that in the event that the husband actually ends up showing up, she is in a catastrophic situation, because then she's not allowed to be married to either husband. She loses her ketuvah, and so on and so forth. Because of that, that's called mipnei hachumra, shichmarta ala b'sofa, hekarta ala b'tchilata. We are absolutely convinced that no normal woman would put herself into a situation where that catastrophic situation may evolve unless she is absolutely convinced, based on many, many sources that wouldn't stand up in court, but that are clear to her, that her husband is really dead. And therefore, even the Besdin will be matir her to get married with an Eid Echad, because we are certain that ultimately she knows. Now, the case of mate, therefore, means that when he says that the husband died, we are not relying on him. We're actually looking at the situation as his being sort of a catalyst, which is like bringing a get, where he says in Eretz Yisrael, we're not relying on him, right? We accept the get. But then why, when he says mate, well, we're not really relying on him, we're relying on the fact, we're relying on the fact that the woman is going to investigate it till the bottom line and knows the fact, and yet the Mishnah says, doesn't matter. He can't marry that woman. So you see that even where you are not critical, your words are not critical in the final definition. Well, I shouldn't say they're not critical, but they're at the basis of the final definition. So that we will not allow you to marry. So why, if the guy brings the get and he says, b'fanai nechtam, in Eretz Yisrael, can he? What are you talking about, man? There's no comparison. The case of the person who brings the get, he's got a document. His words mean nothing. If we find the get and there's witnesses in the get, that is sufficient to make this woman muteret. The fact that he said something, why should I make it worse? I'm going to make it worse. It doesn't make it better, so it doesn't make it worse. So in the case where you're saying mate, There's no object, there's no physical document that we're relying on. So whatever we do is only becoming because of your words. Mashenka, in the case of a get in Eretz Yisrael, we have a document. That's the get. And therefore, whatever he says is not important in any way. And therefore, what are people going to say? He only said, b'fanai nechtam, because he wanted to marry her? We didn't need to hear, b'fanai nechtam. So what if he sang a Beatles song when he presented the get? You're going to say, can't marry her because he sang a Beatles song? And he's talked about love, when he was bringing the get, and that shows that therefore it must be that it wasn't a real get. Come off it, man. Okay, and that actually is a Mishnah, because the Mishnah in Gittin asks, now here we're talking about another interesting situation. A woman's mother-in-law or her sister-in-law, where she doesn't have any children, which may turn out to be her actual co-wife, right? And a stepdaughter, step forward and say, your husband has died. We say, wouldn't you love it if I went and married somebody else and then your dear son comes back and you get him back and I'm screwed, right? We don't trust a woman like that. Stepdaughter. You've always been wanting to get rid of the wicked stepmother anyway. What a great way to get rid of the wicked stepmother. Claim that daddy died. Let stepmother go marry somebody else. Bye-bye, stepmother. And so on. So we're not going to allow that kind of testimony. But when it comes to bringing a get, even though they have to say, b'fanai nechtam, there we will accept their words. Says the Mishnah, why did we say that we will not accept their words to say that he died, but we will accept the get? Ma ben get lemita. Shaktav mochiach. So you see clearly that the Mishnah, obviously, is not the same situation, but the concept of a ktav being different than just your words is important in determining levels of ne'amanut. Over here, obviously, it's not exactly the same levels of ne'amanut, but still, the issue is clear. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. Now, this business about somebody saying, I saw your husband die, or I killed him, or we killed him. So we said over there, he should not marry that woman. But that means, according to the Rabbanan, the woman can get married. So who knew the lo yisat ishto? But she could go marry somebody else. But how in the world can that be true? Is he not a Rasha? And is a Rasha who said, I'm a murderer, is he believed to give the testimony over here? Didn't Rabbi Yosef say, look, if somebody claims so-and-so raped me, so then, if we have another witness that that actually took place, he is one of the witnesses to bring the rapist to Beis Din, and we'll believe his testimony, and we'll actually carry out a chi of misa huvacher mitzar from Largo to this guy who raped this male. But if he said, well, it wasn't really a rape, I mean, I was really into it, so then he says, l'ritzoni, and we've got another witness, then how can he be believed? Since he's saying that I was sodomized on my own das, so then he's a Rasha. And the Torah says, Al tashet yadcha im rasha liyot et chamas. So if the guy himself is claiming he's a Rasha, he's claiming I shot your husband. So how can we rely on his testimony to go and to be matir, the woman, to somebody else even, if he himself is saying, you can't trust me? So therefore, the Mishnah doesn't make sense. I mean, maybe you'll say that, well, but remember Edus Isha, we're not really relying on his testimony. And when it comes to Edus Isha, like we said, we wouldn't rely on an Ed Echad either. But because of the fact that the woman, we assume, does the correct investigations, so she's Medaika Uminseva, so then maybe we're going to go all the way and we're going to say, look, it doesn't matter if he's not a kosher aid, because it wasn't really a kosher aid if he was one witness. So if he's one not kosher witness, same thing. We'll be makil because of Isha Daika Aminseva. The problem with that approach is that Rav Menashe said, when we're makil, we are makil even for someone posel aidus, but only where the psul of aidus is because he's a gazlan didivrehem. He's posel aidus midrabbanan. He makes his living from gambling. He plays the stock market. So he steals, I'm joking. So he steals other people's money. But, I mean, it's not really stealing because the victims are part of the scam. I mean, right? So even though midrabbanan, he's considered to be a gazlan, and for normal aidus, he would be posel. But for this, for aidus isha, they didn't consider him to be a gazlan, but says Rav Menashe, but when it comes to a real gazlan, a guy who goes around with a gun and takes money from people and your wallet or your life, I mean, he would certainly be puzzled even for aidus isha. I mean, this guy is saying, I am a murderer. If you're a murderer, how in the world can the Mishnah say we can go ahead and we can accept the testimony? That's ridiculous. I mean, unless you say that Rav Menashe actually is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, right? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if he says I murdered him, then we can't believe him. Oh, okay, I guess Rav Menashe was explaining the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and he was only going like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Rabbanan who said that the woman is allowed to marry somebody else, they apparently hold that the kula of Edus Isha would apply even in cases of an Isser D'Oraisa for Edus. Okay, that you could say. I mean, but then that would put Rav Menashe into a pretty tough situation because we'd say, look, I mean, Rav Menashe, you understand we can't paskin like you because we have the Rabbim that argue with you here in the Tanakhama against Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah says, Minastam, that you're not allowed, that you are allowed to marry, and you're claiming you're not allowed to marry if you claim you're a murderer, but here the Mishnah says you can marry. So apparently, the Tanakhama holds for Edus Isha, we're going to be makil even in an Isser D'Oraisa. Rav Menashe's response to that will be, No, absolutely not. I'm going according to everybody. Even the Rabbanan would agree that the halacha is that a person who is an aid that was over on a deraisa is not kosher. So, okay, so then if he says, I'm a murderer, isn't he over on a deraisa? What are you talking about? Who says that he killed somebody? He does. He's not a kosher aid for himself. We don't believe him when he says, if a guy walks into court and says, I'm a murderer, and he gives all the details, do we kill him? Of course not. We say, listen, go visit a psychiatrist, okay? Leave us alone. So, I mean, so the guy himself is telling this woman, I murdered him. Well, I don't believe that you murdered him. Okay, so don't believe him at all. Oh, ha-ha. But now we come to a new idea, which is called palginan dibure. What we do is we look at all elements of a statement and examine which parts of it are relevant to a Beis Din and which parts of it are not relevant to the Beis Din. Now, did the husband die? That is relevant to us, and you are a kosher aid. Yes, the husband died. I killed him. Sorry, we didn't hear that. What do you mean you didn't hear that? Because we didn't ask you who killed him, and we didn't ask you how he died. It's irrelevant because you are not a suitable witness to describe what happened. If it has to do with you, would we believe you as a witness for anything that you are the object of the testimony? No. So we didn't even hear that. But I'm telling you, I don't care if you're telling us, go tell your psychiatrist. We don't hear insanity. So therefore, the part that is nogeya, which is the man died, we hear, and he's a witness. Why not? What do you mean, why not? He's a murderer. Who said he's a murderer? He did. Oh, he can't say he's a murderer. Exactly. So because of that, we are palginan dibure, and that, says Rabban Asha, is the reason that in this case, the Rabban Ramad has nothing to do with what I said. I said that if a guy is, meaning that Adam established, that he is a Rosha Diraisa, then if Adam have established that, then we will not believe his words for Adas Isha. That's all I said. What does the Mishnah have to do with that, for God's sake? What are you claiming? I am going Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Machlokas in the Mishnah is whether we're being Makil on Adas Isha, is to tell me whether we'll accept the Rosh. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with the overall question of Palginan Dibure. That's all. Leave me alone. And that we know is the Shita of Rava. Because I'm going, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan basically are going with the clear understanding of Palginan Dibure, which Rava explains. Because Rava says what Rabbi Yosef said is absolutely wrong. If the guy says that the guy raped me, but I always wanted to be raped, we don't hear the part about I always wanted to be raped. For that, we say, go to your psychiatrist. What do we care about your sexual orientation? Are you crazy? But I'm telling you, I mean, you can't blame this guy. Listen, please, get off of it, man. Did the guy rape you or not? Yes, but shut up about the butts. Go to your psychiatrist. So we're back to where we started again. So therefore, in that case, I totally disagree with Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says we cannot accept his testimony because he himself is saying he's a Rasha. And Rava says, of course we accept his testimony. What do we care about his psychiatric problems? So therefore, the Amar Rava, Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, Lahalacha. What he says about himself is testimony? No. Isn't he related to himself? And that's absurd. It doesn't matter whether he's crazy or not. It's just that we essentially treat him as crazy. Because if he's coming to say something about a relative, would we believe him? Absolutely not. So you don't think that he's a relative to himself? Okay, so he's not a kosher witness. And therefore, since Adam Karov Etzel Atzmo, Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, he can't stand up testimony against himself, and it has no standing in court. So therefore, when he says, I murdered her husband, we didn't hear the part about I murdered. We just heard the part that your husband was murdered. And therefore, we will allow him. Okay, so that would be, according to this, the machlokas between Rava and between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is whether we say in this case Palginan Dibure. Oh, okay. So now you're saying that Rabbi Yosef, in fact, who says that we don't accept testimony if he himself says that he wanted to be raped, so then he would only be going like Rabbi Yehuda. right? Because Reb Yehuda says the woman can't marry on Yom's basis because he's a Rasha if he's Seder Aktiv. So apparently he doesn't believe that Pagina Dibure applies in this case. And so that's who Reb Yosef was going like, that we can't say Pagina Dibure. And therefore, since he says that I wanted to be raped, therefore we won't allow his testimony, right? Nah, says Reb Yosef. The way you were learning it before was the fact. I don't care what Reb Menashe claims. I was saying, even according to Rabbanan, I understand the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Reb Yehuda to be dependent on whether we're makel by edus isha even on an iser d'oraisa, not like Reb Menashe. Now, as far as Reb Menashe is concerned, I say Reb Menashe was only going like Reb Yehuda, the way that you suggested originally. So Reb Menashe can claim that I'm going like Reb Yehuda, and I claim he's going like Reb Yehuda, and therefore each of us has the opposite interpretation of the Mishnah. Either the Mishnah is a machlokas about Pagina Dibure, or the machlokas is about whether we're makel by Edus Isha even on the D'oraisa. Okay, but I mean, if that's the case, why is there a difference between saying I shot your husband or saying we shot your husband? I mean, isn't that the same issue? Whatever your problem is, does it matter whether it's me or us? Maishna haraktivu, maishna haragnu, whatever the issue is. Omer Rav Yehuda, when a guy says we killed him, what does that mean? That we had six people holding the gun and we all put our finger in the trigger and we all pulled together? Of course not. If the guy literally, this is the way Tosus understands it, if the guy had literally killed him, the fact that there were other people attacking him at the same time, he would have said, I killed him. When he says we killed him, he means we all got into the car, we all ran out there, I was an accessory, I was the driver, and we ended up killing the guy, meaning someone in the car shot him. He didn't say I ever laid a finger on him. So therefore, since what he said was we killed him, it boils down to ani hayiti im horgav. I was an accessory after the fact. That doesn't puzzle you, and we see that clearly in a brisa. V'atanya, look at the brisa that the Chachomim said to Reb Yehuda, how can you say that we will not believe him? We have an actual case where there was a guy who was a listim echad. This guy was a known bandit, and he was being taken out to be hung right there at the Megizat Kapotkia, which is Barnea's neighborhood. It's a good thing he's not here, right? So there we were going to hang this guy, and the guy on his way to the gallows say, listen, tell Mrs. Shimon Ben Cohen that I murdered her husband when I went into Lud, or when he came into Lud. So I'm a nice guy. I want her to know that she can remarry and she shouldn't be an aguna chas v'chalila in wondering what happened to her husband. I shot him. And what did some say he said when he was coming into Lud? But the bottom line is that the Besdin accepted that Edus. And you, Reb Yehuda, claim that if he says, I killed him, that we don't accept it, either because we doesn't hold the Pagina Dibure or because we're not Mekel on the Edus Isha, right? Omar Lem, so Reb Yehuda said to them, that's not what happened, my dear. Misham Raya, you're trying to bring me a Raya from over there, where that was not the case. The case over there was where the guy who was being taken out to hang said that we killed him, meaning I was in the murder vehicle. That's all he said. Ani araktiv, no. Ani ayiti imorgav. That's why. Okay, but meanwhile, what do we see from here? That where Rabbi Yehuda was matir, accepting his testimony, and matir the isha on the basis of his testimony, that's talking about a case where ani hayiti imorgav. And that's the meaning over here as well. But it says he was a listim. If he was a listim, then he was puzzle anyway. We've got the same problem. What's the difference if he's puzzle because of listiut or he's puzzle because of marriage? And listim seems to mean that he was known to be a listim. And we're not relying on him. So it doesn't involve either of these questions, I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda. At least the way Reb Menashe understands it. If he is a psul d'oraisa, so then we shouldn't be able to believe him, right? So I don't understand. Why did we believe him? So to say that he was a listim. No, it doesn't mean he was a real listim. It means he was taken into jail because he was a listim. What do you mean taken into jail? It says he was about to be hung. That means that he was established in a court and we knew that he was a listim. Yatzalari katani. No, what are you talking about? It was an American court. It wasn't a real court. Over there, they kill people because it looks bad, whatever. The judge is in a bad mood that morning. There's a crazy jury who doesn't like Jews. I don't know. But, I mean, it doesn't prove a darn thing, does it? Jingle bells all the way. So, therefore, Beidina de Ovde Kochavim, the lo daike. They just kill people because it looks bad, you know. So, we ought to kill him. The lo daike, the katli, and they kill people on insufficient basis. Which now brings us to another very important word from our sponsor, hopefully, although I don't see, nope, there's nothing in his hands. All right, go for it, Sir Richard.
Think of all the wrongful compensation the guy's going to get when they kill him for
Now, here we've got a really kind of far-fetched issue in which the question is, will we say, even in such a case, that we believe that people are rotten enough to create rumors? I mean, it's beyond belief. So what happens over here? A woman comes to a Talmud Chacham, and she asks for a heter of a neder that she made that her husband is asur on her. And the guy spends 2 days thinking about it. He comes back and he says, I couldn't find a petach to your neder. So you're going to have to get divorced. He shouldn't marry her. Why? Because people will say he really knew a heter for a neder. The only reason he wasn't mater a neder is because he was hoping she would get divorced and then he could marry her. So therefore, you shouldn't marry her. But what about a case if he was involved in this woman being mima in it? For she was a katana. Or she did chalitza in front of him, then he can marry her because that isn't done in front of an individual judge. That's done in front of a Beis Din. So since Mipnei Shehu Beis Din, we're not going to be choshish that the members of the Beis Din all got together and they decided, let's be mater because one of us really has the hots for her. Oh, for God's sake, that much people wouldn't say. So, okay, in that case, it's not considered to be an inappropriate marriage. But wait a second. But the Mishnah is saying that he could have been matir her, right? Ha-hitira, it would have been a heter. The Yisa'ena obviously is not the issue, could have married or not married. That's not the point. The point is, he could have been matir that neder, right? So, is that true? I mean, are we talking about he is a single judge? Is a single judge allowed to be matir a neder? Didn't Reb Chiya bar Ravin Omer Rav Amram said that the Braita teaches us you need to do Atoras Nedorim Bishlosha? So you would need to have three people. So therefore it must be talking about that she came to a Beis Din to be mater, right? But the Mishnah itself says that anything done in a Beis Din is not a problem because no one is going to say the whole Beis Din got together in order to be mater her. The Mishnah continues, Miana Oshechotze Befanav, he's allowed to marry her because he did it in Beis Din. Come on, you're forgetting a very important halacha. Obviously, we're talking about a single guy. That's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is talking about a Dayan, a Yochid. So how can a Yochid be Matir? Like we said, Kini Yom Rav Chistam Rav Yochanan, that the Din is in Matot, which were said dafke to Roshe HaMatot, that Roshe HaMatot, meaning a mumcha, a yachid mumcha, is allowed to be matir neder all on his own. And Hochanami be yachid mumcha. That's exactly what we're talking about over here. He is a yachid mumcha. Fine. Okay. Now, the next case is a little disturbing because it says that the reason that we believe in the case of Mian Oshachot is because he's a Beis Din. I mean, is that really the only way we'll believe it? If it's a Beis Din? Suppose it was two people. Suppose it was two witnesses. So are we going to say that two people got together to do something wrong for one of those people? I mean, the Mishnah seems to be saying time at a Beis Din. But if it would just be two Talmidei Chachamim, then we would assume still that people are going to make rumors about it. I mean, why is this different from a case that sounds the same? We have witnesses, two witnesses, right? We've got two witnesses that are signed on a sale, on a bill of sale. So it's a contract of a sale of a particular field. Or they're signed on a divorce. Then the Chachamim said, there's no problem. If one of these witnesses wants to go ahead and buy the field from the person to whom it was sold according to him, it's fine. We don't say, oh, this guy probably is a phony witness when he signed on that bill of sale because he was trying to buy it from somebody. So they probably made a deal that they'll pretend that it was bought by him and that way he gets the field when in reality it was never sold. And the guy that was the original owner is claiming, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I never sold this field. We're not chayshish. Why? Because there's two witnesses. Same thing is true if he signed on a divorce. He can go and marry that woman. We're not afraid people will say, there never was a divorce. He signed on it because he wanted the girl. No, there's two people that signed. We're not going to think that they both signed if one of them marries. So you see that even if there's only two people, we're not chayshish. So why does the Mishnah say, because it's a bezdin? Huh? I'd explain that. I explain it very simply. The Mishnah had an option to discuss two or three. Okay. If it discusses three, it's just coming to tell me a halacha. We're going to see later on that there's a machlokas about do you need to do mi'un in front of a bezdin or not? So therefore, the Mishnah wants to say, but if we're talking about mi'un, you should know it was done in front of bezdin. Why? Because it was, because you can only do mi'un in front of bezdin. Since it was done in front of bezdin, they're believed. There's nothing to do with the fact that it's two or three. It's just once I'm coming to tell you that they're believed. I point out, well, since mi'un has to be done in front of a bezdin anyway, so obviously he's believed. The fact is that if it were done in front of two people, he would also be believed. But that's a machlokas we'll see later on. Iboilu. Now we get to the crux of our problems, which has been the point throughout the perek, which we're going to be finishing, and we're giving Richie a little bit of time over Shabbos to prepare for the big day. So, Iboilu. Kanas Maoshe Yotzi. What if the Talmud Chacham did go ahead and marry her after having said that there's no way out of this netter? Rav Kahana says, if he married her, he has to divorce her. Rav Ashi says, no, he doesn't have to divorce her. So Rav Zuti, who was in the yeshiva of Rav Papi, so he taught everyone that the halacha is the Kedivrei Omer Kanas Eino Motzi. You don't have to worry about this. If he married her, he doesn't have to divorce her. So the other guys in the yeshiva, they asked Rav Ashi, I mean, is that your own svara? Or like, did you hear that from a Kabbalah, from the Deiris? I mean, like, why are you paskening? He said, what's with you guys? It's not my own svara, and it's not a Kabbalah that I have from the Rosh Shiva. It's a Mishnah, our Mishnah. We just had it. Hanit an mishiv chavadish tachrura. So that somebody, there's rumors about a guy has been fooling around with a shivcha, right? She gets freed. Or rumors about him with this goya, me'overet kochavim. And then she was mitgayer. It says, are lo yichnos. And then the Mishnah said, beferes, what if he does? Im kanas, in motzi'in. On the basis of rumors, we do not want a divorce. So what do you see from here? Birnana lo mafkinan. We're not choshesh for people saying things about a marriage, and therefore we're going to go and dissolve the marriage. No way. So the same thing is true over here. The Talmud Chacham, who wasn't matters, people are going to say, let them talk. It's because of Rinana. And Rinana, lo mavkinan. We're certainly not going to dissolve a marriage based on a rumor.